It's a lovely hymn. Of course, the main theme of the hymn is the precious blood of Christ. You know, the precious blood of Christ is very important in the giving out of the gospel because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There can be no cleansing from sin and apart from the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. But I was thinking tonight, I would like to talk about the thief, the two thieves on the cross. That's probably not something that you've heard over and over again. And surely the gospel message is like that, and it's told over and over again, the same story. And I was thinking of our second stanza of our hymn. It says, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that Savior in his day. And by that blood, though vile is he, our sins are washed away." That was the thief that turned to the Lord. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, I'd like to speak from Luke 23. And like I say, you see, these are things that we've gone over before, but they bear repeating because, this being the gospel message, we want to proclaim the gospel as clearly and simply tonight. And I'd like to give you seven thoughts that I've thought about and come up with in connection with each one of these thieves. So there'd be 14 altogether. Seven from the thief that rejected the Lord, and seven from the thief that took his place as a guilty sinner and turned to the Lord there on the cross. Verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." First of all, I want to point out this one thing, and it's not new, of course, because we have in this verse here two commas, and they're very important. And I believe that the Word of God is very exact and very precise. The Lord Jesus was never a malefactor. The Lord Jesus was never a malefactor. And that's why it says here, "And there were also two other, comma, malefactors, comma, led with him to be put to death." I think that's beautiful to see that. The Lord Jesus was never a malefactor. These two thieves were malefactors, and they were there because they were thieves. They were thieves. And, you know, sin has come into this world, and death by sin. And thievery is sin. And it says in the Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so these two thieves were there because they had sinned against the Holy God. But what about this person in the middle? Oh, this holy, spotless Lamb of God. I was trying to think of the verse this morning in our breaking the bread this morning, the remembrance of the Lord, and I couldn't find it as usual. And but Pilate came to him and said, "What hast thou done?" What was the answer? There were three witnesses, wasn't there? "That this man hath done nothing amiss," was the thief's reply to that blessed one in the center cross. "I find no fault in this man," was Pilate's assessment. "This blessed one, God's beloved Son, there on the cross." That center cross. You know, he's a center cross, but he's going to be the center of all eternity. He was the center this morning in our coming together to remember him. round himself. He's the center. And he's going to be the center of all eternity. He's the theme of this book, this wonderful book that we have open before us. Is he center of your life? Is he center of your life? And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. They come to Calvary and they crucified him. Man in his wickedness and his crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, casting lots. You think of this terrible scene at Calvary's cross. What an awesome scene it was. There was the rulers there, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, all the religious leaders of the day, and that angry mob who could say, away with this man, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. And still man's heart is the same today. He hasn't changed in 2,000 years. He's still the same. He will not have the Lord as his own personal Savior. But think of the heart of love of the Lord Jesus here. What a statement. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. How precious of the Lord to say that at Calvary's cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. What was it that held him there in that cross? It was love for you and I that held him there in that cross. He could not come down from that cross because he loved you too much. He loved you too much. He couldn't come down from that cross. And the soldiers also mocking him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. You see, I go back to that 35th verse, and it says the people stood beholding. It says that sitting down, they watched him there. Think of that. A man's awful wicked heart sitting there watching the Lord suffer. But he was suffering for you and I on Calvary's cross. And saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription was written over him and in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. You see, that was for all to see. Everyone there saw that. And everyone was represented there at Calvary's cross. Well, what about this blessed one? Have you given him the rightful place in your life? And one of the malefactors, you see, there it is again. Three times here in this chapter, we have the word malefactors. But the Lord was not a malefactor. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Well, I want to go, first of all, and give you seven thoughts on connection with this man who you would say, this thief. We might call him thief number one. And you know, he spoke to the Lord. But you know, the Lord never answered this man. He never answered this thief. And that's point one, number one I want to make tonight. And you know, why didn't the Lord answer this thief? I believe it's this one thing. And he never took his place as a guilty, lost sinner. He never took his place. And until there is repentance in your life, there can be no salvation. You must come as a guilty, lost sinner. And this man never did. That's point one, number one, I want to make. And then the next point I want to make is in this verse 2. It says, if thou be the Christ. And you take that word, if. He said, if you're the Christ. I'd like to give a verse of reference. John 8. Okay, John 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He doubted that he was the Christ. He said if. And you know there are many that are doing that very same thing today. That the Lord Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. There can be no salvation for you if you say if and doubt that he was the eternal Son of God. This man said if. That's the second point I want to make. Then the third part of this was this man was a thief. He was a thief. And he didn't want any part of the Lord's kingdom. He didn't want to go to heaven. Didn't want to be there with him. Why? Why? Because he was a thief. And that was his way of life. His manner of life all the way through his life probably. You see, most thieves, it gets to be kind of a habit, doesn't it? A lot of the ones that rob stores and banks and the like of that, they didn't just start overnight. Many times it comes as when they were younger, probably stole a little something here, stole a little something there, and on it goes until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, these things don't happen overnight. And here's this man. He was a thief. And that was his manner of life, I believe. And that's the way he lived. And you know, I believe that there are many like that. They live their life without Christ and reject Christ. As many times I quote that verse in Psalm 10. God is not in all their thoughts. Never thinking about God, never thinking about eternity, never thinking about their soul's salvation, never thinking about that blessed one who died on Calvary's cross for their sin, never thinking about their sins. And that's their way of life all the way through their life. And they go out of this world still the same thoughts, only of self and what I can get out of this world. And so that was his way of life. And then the fourth point I want to make is this, that what did he want? He says here, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know what he wanted? He wanted to get down from that cross and to go back to his world. I believe that's what he wanted. He says, save thyself and us. He wanted to get down from that cross and he wanted to go back to the world that he came from of thievery and whatever it was. And many there are like that today. Want to get back. You know, I believe that many times that God speaks to man, and he might turn to the Lord and ask the Lord to help him and everything else. And when everything is going along nice and easy, they go back to their world. Back to their world without Christ. Think about how merciful and gracious God is. But it says in Job 33, it says, God speaketh once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. So many times man has been spoken to once, twice, three times. And you know, I believe more and more every day that this world is coming under the judgment of God, and God is speaking to this world tonight. He's speaking to this world in a most profound way. And often I think about this, you know, we see of disasters all over the world, in places in India and down here. Well, I just relate another instance. Last week and in Mexico, Acapulco, Mexico, you know, graphic or whatever the word. We're listening to the news, and this hurricane, what was it, Pauline or something like that, was heading for Acapulco. It already had ravaged a lot of Mexico, down to Oaxaca and places like that. And the warning came out to Acapulco, and the news came over and it said, a lot of the people in Acapulco were saying, well, what are you doing about this hurricane that's coming? Well, most of them said, well, we're just going along, doing our thing. I mean, this is Acapulco. This is a tourist place. This is where you have a lot of fun and worldliness here in Acapulco. And that's just what they were going to do. And they said, are you making any preparation for the storm? No. No. And then the storm came, and how many were killed in that storm? What was it? Somewhere around 300 people were killed in that storm in Acapulco. And then the next thing you hear is, well, what about it now? Well, they want to go back to their fun and games and everything else that they have in Acapulco. You see, that's the way man is. That's the way man is. God speaks, and he listens for a minute, and then he goes back to his fun, forgets all about God. Oh, what a gracious God we have. God, not willing that any should perish, but God is speaking to this world tonight in the most profound way. You know, we've been bypassed, I believe, here in North America, I believe it's the goodness of God. We haven't had any disasters here, Richmond. We haven't had any disasters here, have we? Where there's been a lot of souls killed and a natural disaster like a hurricane or an earthquake or something like that. You know, God could come in governmental judgment on the North America. We who have been richly blessed with the Word of God and the gospel is preached, and yet man is rejecting it and turning a deaf ear to it. And we're just like those down in Acapulco. We're no better than the people in Acapulco. We just want to go on our own contrary way and enjoy this everything that's that's here. And you wanted to get back to his world. And then the fifth thing I want to say was, you know, the Lord in the midst, and on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Oh, what a sight. But you know, this man was so close to the Lord. That's the fifth point I want to make. He was so close to the Lord. And you know, I believe there are many like that tonight that are so close, but yet still lost. Still lost. And you know, it could be that way tonight with you. Maybe there's one here in this room, one young person here in this room, coming to meeting every Lord's Day, coming to hear the gospel. You're so close, but yet still in your sins. Is this your case? What a solemn thing. What a responsibility to hear the gospel Lord's Day after Lord's Day and yet reject it. Just like this thief, you're so close. And you're just like this thief too. This thief was lost in his sins. And he had death. In a few hours, he was going to go out of this world. As soon as the soldier came and break the legs of the first and the other thief, the article, he died. He died. He was so close to death, but he was so close to the Lord. Think of that. How solemn. But, you know, Let's turn to Acts 26 there. There's a man here. He's close too. It bears repeating. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So the question is asked tonight, do you believe? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? What was the answer? Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. He was so close. He was so close. But you know, still lost. Still lost. What a solemn thing. What a responsibility to be under the sound of the gospel and reject it. The sixth thing I want to mention is this, is that he didn't fear God. He didn't fear God. The other thief told him that. Dost thou not fear God? And so it says in Romans chapter 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. And then the seventh thing was, he got the due reward of his deed. He was a thief. He was a thief. And you know, it says in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's this thief. That's this thief. The wages of sin is death. He got the due reward of his deeds. But then the rest of that verse says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know this wonderful gift that God is offering you tonight? A God of love that is offering you salvation full and free tonight and wants to save you, is longing to save you, is willing to save you, and He will save you if you come tonight as a guilty, lost sinner. All right, let's take a look at the second thief. You know, the first point I want to make was this, that this thief, this first thief, he said, we got the due reward of our deeds. You know what this thief says? We indeed justly. We indeed justly. You see, what this thief was saying was this, that we got just what we deserved by being here. And what was he saying? You know, I believe and I trust it would be so with each one here tonight that you can say tonight, like the prodigal, when he came to his father, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, that's what God wants of you and I. It says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This man repented. He repented. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. You know, there's going to come a day when man is going to get the due reward of his deeds for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given everything. The dearest object of His heart. He's done everything for you to save your precious soul. All He asks you to do is come. That's simple. So beautiful. It's the wonderful message of the gospel. God, who has given everything, the dearest object of His heart, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man, he owned that he was a guilty, lost sinner. We got just what we deserved. And the second point was this, he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, what a beautiful statement. He turned to the Lord, you see. He turned to the Lord And he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Think of that. You know, there they were hanging on that cross. This thief, you know, he couldn't get down from the cross. as man would, you know, you got to do something for your salvation. You got to do good works. You got to get baptized. Got to do all these things to get saved, you know. How about this thief? Could he do anything? There he was hanging on the cross. Couldn't do a thing. He could. He was there, nailed to the cross. He couldn't do anything for salvation. No. All he did was accept that blessed one that hung upon the middle cross. Could he get baptized? No. He was there on the cross. He couldn't get baptized. No. Think of the hopeless condition that this thief was at. And death staring at him in the face. Very shortly. But you know, there's one thing that he did have. Two things, I guess. Two things. He had a heart and he had a mouth. He had a heart and he had a mouth. And those are the two things I believe that are for your salvation. That you must use for your salvation. And so he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Then he says, he says in verse 42, "And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord." Isn't that beautiful? He says, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Have you done the same? He owned him as Lord. He owned him as Lord. Wonderful, isn't it? It says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple, isn't it? Wonderful. So he had a heart. He believed with his heart. And he confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus. He says, "Lord, Lord." Have you given him his rightful place in your life? Is he Lord of your life? He said, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." another point I want to make was this. He wanted part of his kingdom. He wanted to be in his kingdom. He wanted to be with the Lord in glory. He couldn't enter into where the Lord was going. But he said, "I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it." And then another thing that he did was he rebuked the other thief. It says, and one of but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And then point six I want to make is this. You know, this was the only deathbed conversion in the Word of God. The only deathbed conversion. And, you know, that's very important, isn't it? You know, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet." And so God's time is now. God is offering salvation full and free tonight to whosoever will. And he's offering that to you tonight. And he's saying, "Now, now, right now, come now, tonight. Now is the time to be saved tonight. Now is the time to be saved when you're young. That's the time to accept Christ. Because you have a heart that is tender. except the love of Christ. This is the only deathbed conversion recorded. This doesn't mean to say you can't be saved on your deathbed. You can, but that's not the time to come. The time to come is right now. There are many that called out to the Lord at their time of death, and the Lord heard them. But you know, it's not always the case on a deathbed conversion. You know why? Because when a person nearing death, their strength is very weak and can barely speak audibly. I remember if Mom would not mind me saying so, at the bedside when Dad went home. And I tried to hear what he had to say. And it was very, very, I couldn't distinguish what he said. But he said something. And think of that with a person that has been without Christ all their life. And what are they thinking about when they pass out of this world to face God? What a solemn thing. What a solemn thing. To face a lost eternity. And this was the only deathbed conversion. But, you know, tonight, this is the message of the gospel. How wonderful it is that here we have a gospel meeting tonight. Why do we have this gospel meeting? Because God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. And He wants you to come. And He's lengthened out the day of grace so that man can be saved tonight. I believe that many are being saved this very day. God saves. God is sovereign. God is willing to save. And He's still saving. Until the Lord Jesus comes and the last one is brought in. And then it'll be forever too late. The door will be closed. The door of grace will be closed forever. And there'll be no chance. No hope. And then the last thing was, it says, He was taken. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I think of this, dear one, as we would, well, let's go farther down and just have that, what the Lord said to him. He turned to him and he said, today, verily, I say unto you, that's nice. Verily means truly. Truly. You know, these are one, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily. And so the word of God gives us wonderful assurance. And these are wonderful statements coming from the Lord. Here on the cross, there he was on the cross. And he turns to that thief and he says, verily, I say unto thee, today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wonderful, isn't it? You're going to be with me in paradise. But, you know, in order for that thief to go to paradise, what did the Lord have to do? Verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And we have it recorded in Matthew 27. He cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think of that, of how that thief could get to paradise. Oh, the Lord turned to him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But in order for you to be with me in paradise, I'm going to have to bear your sins in mine own body on the tree.
and the sun was dark, and God heaped upon that blessed one the sins of that thief and yours and mine. Think of that. Oh, think of the love that held him there in that cross to bear your sins and mine. In order for that thief to be in paradise with the blessed Lord, he had to bear his sins and to shed his life blood for that precious, for that thief. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The dying thief rejoiced to see that Savior in his day. That thief went into be with the Lord Jesus in paradise. Well, where are you going tonight? May I ask you that question tonight? Have you owned that blessed one who hung upon Calvary's cross for your sins, owned him as Lord and Savior like this thief did? Jesus, Lord, he cries to that man in the middle. Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It says, I'll repeat it again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't ask you to do anything complicated to be saved. Just like that thief, he came. He confessed him as Lord. Have you done so tonight? This is the message of the gospel tonight. A gospel from a God whose heart of love has given you everything, given the dearest object of his heart in offering you everything tonight. Won't you accept this wonderful offer of salvation tonight? Shall we thank him? Loving God and our Father, we do thank thee for another gospel meeting.